Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I invite you to join with me here in following along as we read the first part of 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared also to me as to one abnormally born. We'll stop right there. Verse 1 of this passage, of this chapter, has been the driving force for our current sermon series here at Westview. But we've said over and over again the words of the Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. And sometimes we've continued on, right? The gospel that Paul has preached, the gospel that we have received, that we have taken our stand, the gospel by which we are saved. I want to remind you of the gospel. And that's our aspiration as well here on this Easter morning, to be reminded of the gospel, to be reminded of the good news and the story of Jesus Christ, who He was and what He did and how His story impacts our story. Because by this gospel, Paul says, you and I are saved. Because when we believe in the name of Jesus Christ and when we take our stand within and upon this good news, Paul says we are saved. Now this Easter morning is not going to be the end of this sermon series. We've got more good news yet to cover in the weeks ahead. But today on Easter morning, we can describe it as sort of the apex. Sort of what we would call the pinnacle moment, the high point. Because today we are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. One commentator says it this way. The resurrection lay at the heart of the gospel that has been preached. And I think Paul would agree with those sentiments here. Because Paul, we find here, what he's passing along to these Corinthian readers, he says is of first importance. That this is the most important thing that he can share with those to whom he is writing. He's sharing with them what happened on Good Friday. That Jesus died on the cross. And that He was buried in a tomb. And then he says on Easter morning He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul is saying this is of first importance. This is what Paul says is of first importance that he wants to remind us of today. This story. That on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. But when they entered, they found that the stone had already been rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning appeared before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee, that the Christ must be betrayed and handed over into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and be raised on the third day. My friends, that is the story of today. That is the heart of the gospel. And so let me remind you today that Jesus rose from the dead. But I don't just want to remind you of the fact that this happened, but also on this Easter morning, allow me to remind you why this is important. Why this matters. Why the resurrection matters. Why the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ matters. Let me remind you today why we celebrate so, why we sing with such gusto, why this day is such an important day. It's because Jesus defeated death. Here's a little backdrop that might be helpful for us as we study this chapter here in 1 Corinthians 15. A little backdrop to the Corinthian culture. So Paul is writing to believers in Corinth. Corinth is a city in Greece, like Athens, probably better known city in Greece. Both Corinth and Athens, they are cultural heart and souls of Greek thought and philosophy and culture and religion. And for the Greeks, it was the soul of a person that matters. Of the body, Greeks were repulsed. They saw the body as a form of imprisonment of the soul while on earth. And it was only after a person died that the soul was released from this imprisonment. And so for them, it was the soul that went on to live in what they would call the afterlife. And so to an unbelieving person in Corinth, a bodily resurrection was not only an absurdity, it was repulsive. Greeks denied resurrection, let alone a bodily resurrection. And here we have this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, which could arguably be said is the greatest chapter in all of Scripture that is dedicated to the importance and the implications of Jesus' resurrection. That Paul insists here over and over again, there is a resurrection, and not just any resurrection, but a bodily resurrection. And he says over and over again, this resurrection matters. Paul is writing here to these Corinthian believers who have already received some preaching of Paul. They've already taken their stand upon the gospel. And he's writing to them to educate them, but also to encourage these believers who are living in the heart of a resurrection-denying Greek culture. And Paul comes at this a bunch of different ways. He wants to talk about the resurrection and why it matters. And one of the ways he does so is here in verse 12. So if you have your Bibles open yet, look with me at verse 12. We'll read here a few verses. Paul says this. He says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, and that's what Paul does, right? He preaches Jesus Christ risen from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead, right? This Greek culture they're living in. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. I mean, Paul, we're going to stop right there. You know, Paul really doesn't mince any words there, does he? And he kind of comes at this from a backward, kind of a backdoor sort of way. You know, he knows that these earliest Christian believers, they are growing up. They grew up in a resurrection-denying, a body-hating Greek culture. And Paul knows this. He knows the space from which they have come, and he knows how audacious it was that these Corinthian believers would believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he knows the constant pressure they are facing from society and what society is saying all about them. And so Paul is forceful, Paul is persuasive, Paul names that there's a resurrection of Jesus, and it matters. And he says, you know, if there's no resurrection of Jesus, then this preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He says if there's no resurrection of Jesus, then we are blasphemers, right? Because we are false witnesses of God. He says if there's no resurrection, then those who have faith, that faith is futile. And we're still lost in our sins with the guilt and the shame and the punishment. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross meant nothing. He says if there's no resurrection, then those who have died believing in Jesus Christ, they are lost for good. He says if there's no resurrection, then if we have hope in Christ, it's just for the here and now. It's just for this moment while we are on earth, and we are to be pitied more than anyone else. I mean, it's sort of a backdoor way of getting to his point, yes? I mean, it's sort of unnerving a little bit, yes? It's not the most pleasant of thoughts. But Paul's point is driven home effectively. The resurrection of Jesus matters. As I read that paragraph, it's not my favorite one in all of Scripture. It's got all those ifs. There's six of them there at least, and it can feel a little unsettling, a little unnerving. But the reality, Paul says, is there is a resurrection. He's saying, you know, what was true in that moment when those women went to the tomb is also true when he's putting pen to paper and writing this letter. What was true in that moment, what was true in this moment he's writing, it's also the same thing that's true this morning. On the last day of March 2024, I had two people come and tell me, did you hear the news? Guess what the news is? The tomb is empty. The same thing was true for the women, for Paul, and for us today. The tomb is empty. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose in bodily form. He appeared, Paul says, to Peter and to the other disciples. He appeared to 500 other believers and then to James and to all the apostles. And he says, he appeared to me as well. Jesus Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And he says that bodily resurrection, it matters. Here's why as well. Start in verse 20 with me. Here's another thing Paul writes here. He says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in their own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We'll stop right there. That's a little bit more of an uplifting paragraph to me. You too? It has the same message, though. There's a resurrection of Jesus, and the resurrection matters. One of the things Paul says, here's why it matters. It's the very same thing we were talking about here at Westview on Friday night with Good Friday. Right? It talks about Adam, and Adam, he sinned, and because Adam committed that one sin, everyone's going to sin, and everyone is going to die. But Paul says the death of Jesus Christ means that we can be forgiven of those sins. And that's wonderful in and of itself, but when you combine that, not only with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, but it's wonderful because Jesus didn't just die, He also rose again. Death was defeated. And so death has no claim over us any longer. It says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. See, we have a promise today of a life. We have a promise of life in Jesus Christ because He rose from the dead. That's why the resurrection matters. Another thing that Paul says here about why the resurrection matters is that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Or sometimes it says the first fruits of the resurrection. We know what first fruits are. Are we familiar with this? First fruits are the first produce that comes from a harvest. And for the people of God, they would offer those first fruits to God as a sacrifice, as an offering. And typically the first fruits are the best of a harvest. Going back to my growing up on the farm, I can remember we had dairy cows, and so we had a small alfalfa field. And you'd have cuttings of hay, and it was always that first cutting of hay that produced the most bales of hay. You'd get to that third cutting, maybe that fourth cutting, and it wouldn't be nearly as much alfalfa out there. But the first fruits is the best, and that's offered to God. And Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. That He is the first one who has died and has risen again, only to never die again. And as the first fruits, Paul is saying here is that all of those who believe in Jesus, all of those who are made alive in Christ, we are also the fruit. We are also the harvest that is yet to come. That all who belong with Jesus will follow in the way of Jesus. We too will rise again. That's why the resurrection matters. Jesus is the first fruits of what is yet to come. And that is possible because Jesus has defeated death. Here's something else Paul says here. Death's defeat is a current reality. We say Jesus is risen. And Paul also says it's a future hope. Paul references that in the future, Jesus is going to finish the work that He has set out to do, and then He's going to hand over the kingdom to God, but only after some things are done. At the end of verse 24, he says, after He has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. Verse 25 goes on to say that Jesus is going to reign. He's going to reign until all enemies have been put under His feet, until all enemies have been made subject to Him. Friends, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is nothing that remains that Jesus Christ is not Lord over. Nothing in the earth, nothing in the spiritual realm, nothing at all that causes us hardship or pain or suffering or grief or heartache. None of that will have any hold of us because Jesus is risen from the dead. All of it, every single last bit of it, is going to be subject to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that includes death itself. It's the shortest verse I think we're going to read this morning, and yet it is maybe the most powerful and comforting and encouraging verse that we need to hear. Verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. How many times have you heard someone say, the only two things certain in life are taxes and death, right? Or maybe we've heard before, Father Time is undefeated, yes? Here's a reality for us. Every single person who has walked on this earth has had a time where their time on earth has concluded. Here's another reality for us. Every single person who is currently on this earth, and friends, that includes every single one of us here in this worship center this morning. Barring the second coming of Jesus, every single one of us will die. Death will bring to completion the final chapter of our earthly journey. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, our story is not over. Because Jesus defeated death. He destroys death. It says, you know, Jesus himself, he died, right? I mean, he came to the moment, just like all of us will come to as well. He's to come to the moment where his heart stopped beating and his lungs stopped heaving. But by the power of God, the heart of Jesus started to pump again. And by the power of God, the lungs of Jesus started heaving again. And he rose from the dead and he defeated the undefeatable. He struck a crippling blow from which death will never recover. Death has met its match in Jesus. And death will never reap the havoc it once caused on the hearts of people. That's why the resurrection of Jesus matters. And before we say more about this death, I want you to look at one other place here in 1 Corinthians. So jump ahead to verse 50. 1 Corinthians 50, verse 15, verse 50, and continue on for a few verses. Paul says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, here's why the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus matters. Because this body of mine, right, this flesh and blood of mine, this body is not worthy of heaven. And you can say, yeah, we know, right? It's all right. But here's the thing. You're included in that too. Your flesh and blood, our bodies, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The same is true for all of us. But we said a moment ago that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And if he's the first fruits, then all who believe in him will follow. And Jesus had a bodily resurrection, which means that our resurrection will be a bodily resurrection as well. But it will not be like this body. It will be changed. It will be transformed. Those who died, when resurrected, they will have a body that is raised imperishable. And those who are alive when Jesus comes, we will be changed. And so this flesh and blood of ours that is stained and scarred by sin, this flesh and blood of ours that is rife with turmoil and tragedies and trials of this world, this flesh and blood, this body of ours that is imperfect and perishable and mortal, it will be transformed, perishable into imperishable, mortal into immortality. And this transformed body, which sin and death once prevented from us being able to enter the glories of heaven, sin and death is now powerless. And Paul quotes this, right? He says, death gets swallowed up in victory. Now, that's kind of a funny little saying. Maybe it was something they said long ago. I think we would say it this way today. Death gets its butt kicked. Right? When Jesus died, and when he rose again, he invaded death's domain. And he robbed it of any power. He robbed it of any authority. He robbed it of any dominion. And so death is no longer undefeated. Death is no longer the final chapter of our story. Death no longer holds us down or holds us out of the hope of glory. Death has no say over us. Death has no control over us. Death is powerless over us. We do not need to fear death like the Greeks do. And those who die in Christ, we do not need to grieve as those without hope because Jesus has defeated death. And so we say, where indeed death is your victory? Where indeed death is your sting. But thanks be to God, because He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the resurrection matters. And friends, it's why we can come on an Easter morning like this and we can sing lyrics like these with such enthusiasm today. We can sing, "Lives again our glorious King, where, O death, is thy sting?" It's why we can sing, "Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise." It's why we can sing, "Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the sky." Friends, it's because of this that we can sing these words, I'm alive because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, every fear is gone because Jesus defeated death. This is why the resurrection matters. And so friends, as Paul does in verse 1 of our passage, and as Paul urges in verse 58 of our passage, stand firm, friends. Let nothing move you. Let nothing in this world discourage you or tear you down, because here's a reality for us as well. Just like those earliest Corinthian believers, we live in a world where there's a lot of false narratives being swept around. So many beliefs out there that are trying to steal our joy and steal our hope in Jesus Christ. We're told that our faith is futile. We're told that what we're doing right now in this moment is a waste of time. We're told that we're weak and we're lost. And when we're told that, we can get down and we can get discouraged. We can get fearful as well. But my brothers and sisters, I want to remind you today of that which is of first importance. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Let me remind you this morning that on this Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. He is not here. He has risen. And let me remind you this morning that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead means there is victory for you and for me over sin, over the grave, over death. Let me remind you today that Jesus defeated death. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. God, what more can we say this morning than indeed, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the power of the resurrection. This eternity-changing news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is risen indeed. That death is defeated now and forever. And for those of us who are in Christ, there's no guilt in life, there's no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in us. This is the power of the resurrection. And we say hallelujah indeed. And we praise you today, God, for all that the resurrection means for us, for our hope, our faith, our life. We thank you, God, that our sins are forgiven. We thank you that our relationship with you is restored. We thank you that there's abundant life for us now as we rest in Christ. And God, we thank you for the assurance of hope from which all eternity is secure. This is the power of the resurrection that we celebrate today. And we pray this morning that we pray for each and every one of us here today. You know, whoever we are and wherever we're at in this whole faith journey, wherever our story has been, we pray that the power of the resurrection would meet us and confront us and astound us and overwhelm us and encourage us. And in all things, we would be drawn into a great sense of the unconditional love you have for us, God. And that we would be moved into a deeper relationship with you. That we will find rest today in the good news that it is that you know us and that you love us and you are with us and you care for us and you provide for us and you save us. God, would you continue to be at work today and always through the power of the resurrection. And God, we would pray as well that the power, this resurrection power would be at work everywhere and in everything. That where there is brokenness and where there is pain, God, would you bring healing and relief. Where there is hurt, God, would you bring pleasure. Where there is need, that you would bring supply. Where there is hatred, that you would bring love. Where there is rupture, that you would bring reconciliation. Where there is death, that you would bring life. We want to continue to know this power of the resurrection today and always. Thank you, God, that we can know it, that we can receive it, that we can celebrate it this morning. This power of the resurrection, and the fact that because He lives, we live. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. That we are alive because He lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.